Welcome to the OA Serenity Sunday Meeting Podcast. Serenity Sunday is now hybrid, meeting in person at Roxbury Park in Beverly Hills and on Zoom. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroup's webpage at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live in either iteration. Now that we're meeting in person, Serenity Sunday has regular meeting expenses and would appreciate Seventh Tradition donations to help support the meeting and this podcast. You can donate via Venmo at Serenity Sunday. Last four digits of the phone number are 6255, or through PayPal, SerenitySunday1212 at gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the Serenity Sunday podcast are those of the individual speaker and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. And now, our speaker.
Again, my name is Jason McGee. I'm a compulsive overeater and a 100-pounder.
Hi, Jason.
So good to be here today. I've heard about this meeting, but I've never been to a meeting on this side of the hill other than the OA birthday. So it's good to get over. I live up in the San Fernando Valley. I'd like to qualify. I joined Overeaters Anonymous in November of 2019. I got abstinent on December 1st, 2019. And right now I'm currently maintaining about 120-pound weight loss as of my last weigh-in. I want to share these with the folks in the room. They got some photos there. Unfortunately, I didn't bring anything so they could post it up on the screen, you guys. Right now I'm wearing a 44-long sport coat. I'm wearing 34-inch waist jeans, and my shirt's a 17 and a half. And there's some pictures in there. And when I got here, I weighed 316 pounds. I was wearing 46-inch waist jeans and spilling out of them, 3X polo shirt that should have been a 4. And I wheezed when I walked. I was not in a good place. My first exposure to the 12 steps is across the hallway in the beverage program. And I've been a member of that fellowship since 1986. And I got here with some spiritual arrogance. In my head, it was just kind of like, oh, way, no way. I didn't need this. I had experience. I sponsored people. I did all those things. My mother is a fellow for this fellowship, and she also goes to one of the people programs, too. She hasn't been able to attend meetings for a while because she's got dementia and she's got some other health issues. So I knew the program worked, but I just didn't know what happened on this side of the hallway. And when I walked into the meeting over at Studio City is my home group. That was the second meeting I went to, and I felt like I walked into a rock concert. The energy was just there. There was people who sounded like me and looked like me. There was people who, the ones who really interested me, the ones who sounded like me but didn't look like me anymore. I could not maintain a healthy body weight. I just couldn't do it. I could not conjure that on my own. And some of the folks knew I was, because I met a few folks that I was coming in from the other side of the hallway, and they said, well, that's cool. Keep that little medallion in your pocket and bring your big book, sit down, and we'll teach you what you don't know, because you don't know what you don't know. And I didn't. And there were smiles and laughter, but you guys understood. You know, anybody who's ever been new to a meeting or walked into a different meeting is like, how do you know who the new guy is? Well, I was pretty big. Look scared, and nobody's seen me before, so it's kind of obvious. I was either in from out of town or I was a new guy. And you guys open your arms and you welcome me in. You welcome me in. I was able to, some of this stuff was going just right before the pandemic kicked off. I actually got to go out to Arizona and visit my folks. They retired out to Kingman. I remember my mom giving me a big hug because she hadn't been able to put her arms around me for decades. And that was a pretty awesome feeling. It's a really awesome feeling. And, that right around that same time, I managed to lose about 60 pounds in my first year of abstinence. And I'd gone shopping with our oldest daughter, and they had turkeys on sale. So we had one for us and one for the in-laws. And she just starts giggling. Mija, what's going on? You know, she goes, Dad, you've lost 4 turkeys. Wow. Yeah, because they're 15-pound birds. And my eyes just went up. And then I just started to, where'd they all fit? But you can see it in some of the pictures. At that time, I only looked from here up. I was shaving my face or brushing my teeth, and I didn't always look really close. You know, I hadn't seen my toes in a while, and it was difficult to tie my shoes and stuff like that. But I had that denial. And, you know, I didn't try any of the commercial programs because somewhere deep down inside, I'm pretty cheap. And also, I was afraid that it wasn't going to work. I considered the surgeries, but I was afraid I was going to eat my way around it. Somewhere inside knew that there was something broken, and it goes way back. Food stuff started for me when I was younger, well before I started doing the other shenanigans that originally landed me in recovery. My mom being a fellow, there were some challenges around the house, how we ate, what we ate, what was going on. But for me, it's more, better, different. Those are the things. It's not just this stuff. Any one of my character defects can derail me. But for me, the food was really a problem. Barbecues, buffets, all that stuff. Love that kind of stuff because, there were no rules, really. Just don't take the last of something if you're in a family event sometimes. I could do that stuff. I was a two-sport varsity athlete in high school. And I was passing out in class because I wasn't eating enough. So that was my first adventure into eat whatever you want, whenever you want, because you need to keep your strength. Problem was, when I quit training, I kept eating like that. My first job was at a fast food restaurant. We got to eat half price. So they talk about the freshman 15. Well, I graduated high school at 195, which is about what I weigh now. And by the time I started junior college, I was already up to 220 pounds over a summer. So, I got married later on, and we've got three adult kids right now. Every time my wife got pregnant, I put on weight. So did she, but she lost it. I never did. And there were some scary pictures and some stuff in there. I catch a side view of myself, in a trade show or an event, or walking, by a plate glass window somewhere, and I would be disturbed and disgusted with what I saw. Our place isn't that big. We got a nice little 1,100 square foot house up in the valley on about a 4,800 square foot lot. And I couldn't mow the front and the back and do the weed whacking without having to take a nap. I'd be sneaking hits off my wife's asthma inhaler. And I could be a bit of a grouch. And, there were times where I'd say, okay, I'm done with this stuff. I'm gonna take a nap. If I don't hear my alarm, just come and get me in a couple hours. They'd let me sleep because that'd be a pain in the butt. I was not being a trusted servant. I governed a lot. They would let me sleep until I got up. It was easier to deal with me being an idiot 5 hours later than to put up with me sometimes. That's part of my family afterwards. We talk about the stuff in the book. I got to experience a lot of that stuff. I got to make amends to my wife and to my kids. And it was great. They graciously accepted them. And then I got to hear about the stuff that I didn't know about that I had done. It was humbling. But you guys gave me the framework to be able to do that. I love the tools of Overeaters Anonymous. That stuff has helped me out so much. We've got stuff like an eating plan. I had no idea what that was. I tried a bunch of different diets. I had a bunch of exercise plans saved on my browser history and stuff like that. And I was good for, maybe 3 weeks at a pop. Had some medical issues back in 2015. I was diagnosed with a really bad case of diverticulitis. And for those who don't know what it is, it's an infection in your lower colon. And my eating didn't cause it, but it wasn't helping. And I had an abscess that burst but didn't perforate. So it was pretty serious. I ended up in the hospital. And doctors tell me I needed to lose some weight and I needed to heal up before they could even do a colonoscopy on me and check everything out. And it was like building the pyramids, trying to get any weight off. And I really wanted to. I really needed to. I had my Fitbit. I was doing my steps. And as a result of several runs of antibiotics, my GI got really tore up in a bunch of different ways. I ended up with GERD and some other stuff. I remember going in to see my surgeon crying. It's like, this is how many steps I'm walking. This is what I'm eating. And it was just other stuff. It was other complications that had come up around it. But even with that, I managed to get, 22 pounds off. And then teased my daughter on the way out from the colonoscopy and endoscopy. Tommy's is right up here. For those of you who aren't in Southern California, it's a chili cheeseburger place. And I was halfway serious. And it was like, no, you're going home, you're having some scrambled eggs and cottage cheese. Just like you committed. And I was about 275. At that point, when I got here, 316 pounds and not a clue how it's going to get out of here. So the food plan has been huge for me. Working the steps in the literature. Like I said, they came in from another side of the hallway. You know, so I knew my way around the big book. My sponsor here made me get a new one with no dog ear pages and nothing else on it. We started in the beginning and ran through and I did the steps. I love our OA literature. You know, just like there's stories in the back of the big book, stories and abstinence in the OA 12 and 12 were a revelation for me because I got a lot of the me toos out of that. I did that. I feel that I've done that. And I really like the way the OA 12 and 12 talks about the spiritual concepts and the stuff we're going through. It really resonated with me a lot. I'm of service. Currently, I'm a delegate. I've got a sponsor. I am a sponsor. And those things help. And I really feel like I'm giving it back when I can finally get to take somebody through a fifth step on their own and help them clear up the wreckage and stuff. That part's been awesome. The phone list, now with all the modern technology, if you say you tried to get a hold of me and you couldn't get a hold of me, there's no way.
That's 10 minutes.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a personal email. I got an email at work. I got an 800 number at work. I've got my phone. Text you. You can find me. You know, if I don't reply back, that's my bad. Well, I couldn't get a hold of you. Goes back to the McGee in my name. That goes back to being in middle school. There was two Jasons in middle school. I've got a long Scottish surname. And Coach Mort would either be yelling at me or Jason Stanley. So it became Stanley and McGee way back then. And then several workplaces and around the fellowship too. You know, we're anonymous outside of here, but you guys need to know who I am. So if you see a Jason McGee on the phone list with an 818 phone number, that's this Jason. My home group's got several Jasons. The industry I work in, there's a bunch of us who used to work together. So it's become comedy for a while, but you know, that's how you know who I am. You know, I'm that guy. Talking about my mom and I have her permission to share this story. Anonymity was huge for her when she first came around. And every now and then we grab a phone call. You know, somebody calling looking for Frida. Well, my mom's name is Patricia. She had so much shame and so much guilt when she got here that her OA handle was Frida because she didn't want to be known. And I understand that kind of guilt and shame. You know, later on, she got a piece of that. But man, if that phone rang, we were in the house. Man, she was on that thing like a cobra. Boom, she'd grab that phone and take that long cord, it's back before cell phones, and go walking out in the garage. But anonymity is important for us. I've been in the same industry that I'm working in now, coming up on 25 years. A lot of people know me as the big guy. You know, a lot of people I've worked with, the current crew I'm working with, we've worked directly with each other this whole time. So, you know, they know I don't drink and they know I'm abstinent just because I've seen the changes in behaviors and stuff like that. They're some of my biggest advocates. But there's a lot of people who don't know me. You know, so I've got to be able to be that, you know, I might be the only fellow that somebody runs into. You know, so I don't want to be acting the fool and running up and doing stuff like that. I try to be an attraction rather than promotion. You know, huge. You know, I've been able to follow the examples here, you know, see how the people do it. And I've had some folks at work ask me, you know, in the industry, hey, man, what did you do? You know, during the pandemic, if some people want to know if I had cancer or if they want to know if I had COVID, because it's a pretty extreme change. And it's like, no, it was the other scene, carbs and some other stuff. But, you know, my dad was 1 of 10 and my mom's 1 of 4 and I've got 50 first cousins. So we've got a broad spectrum. We've got everything from sinners to saints in that family. There's also allergies. There was always an EpiPen in the vent because it was either bee stings, shellfish, or peanuts. So especially here, you know, even though I denied it for a long time, after all the years of evidence of like that old potato chip commercial, you can't just have one. There's a lot of stuff I just can't have one of. And I truly believe from the top of my head to the tip of my toes that I have a physical allergy and I have a mental obsession. And there's no way around it. Once I have that first, whatever it is, I'm gone. You know, I'm not one of those guys who can get away with a little bit of this for a while. I know that if I go back out, it's going to be the 400 club. That's going to be the 500 club. You know, the brakes were off when I got here. And I was so desperate. So, you know, anybody's new, I wish you the gift of desperation. And I've heard that acronym. It's G-O-D. You know, whatever your concept is of a higher power, all I know is mine's not mine. You know, for me, I grew up on both sides of the Protestant Reformation. We changed brands a couple times. You know, I've got some cousins who are Christian missionaries. I've talked to them, and they all had something that I couldn't relate to, but I kind of wanted. You know, I think my higher power for the 12 steps, and I think the 12 steps are my higher power. And I think you guys too. I cannot conjure this on my own. I'm powerless, and my life becomes unmanageable. There's still a lot of moving pieces going on in my life. We lost dad last year to dementia. Mom's got dementia right now and some other underlying health issues. She lives down in Arizona. My brother's helping take care of her. It's a lot of moving pieces with that kind of stuff. You know, we all know it's, you know, going on in the outside world with stuff like that. It's a busy place. I don't have to eat over any of that stuff today. You know, my abstinence, I do 3 meals a day and 2 snacks. I worked out the details with my sponsor. I weigh and measure, or it's unit of measure. For me, I'm allowed to have a piece of fruit. You know, if I can find a banana that looks like a redwood tree, yeah. I won't, but my wife brings home those little bananas like this big. Oh, you know, because the contract I have with my sponsor is I don't weigh my fruit, it's unit of measure. My proteins, my condiments, whatever stuff's going on there. You know, for a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of stuff's common for a lot of us. You know, white flour, sugar, you know, recreational sugar, fried foods, fast food. I've gone through the fast food to pick stuff up to take home, but I'm just a delivery guy. There's lots of food in my house I don't eat. I'm surrounded by normal eaters, but my food plan's solid. I commit my food every night to my sponsor, and I send them some 10th step stuff. And it's a custom with some of the guys I run around with. As we take pictures, we send them to each other. It's accountability. And that last meal of the day, dinner done. For me, I needed that closure. You know, they around the house, especially when the kids were growing up, you know, I would ask, has everybody had enough to eat? Which meant dad was going away to put away the leftovers. Yeah. They weren't going in the plastic containers. You know, and I was eating while I was cooking. I don't do that anymore. But here, I found a break because I have that neutrality. I can cook and be a service. And I love working in the kitchen. I love getting my knives out. And I love blowing the kitchen up, which is a character defect that I manage a lot better now. And I will clean up the wreckage of my presence. But I can cook for other people. And it's a gift. It's a safe place for me in the kitchen. I can be in the kitchen and be totally safe. And it wasn't like that before. I can eat on the road. I travel a little bit for work, not a lot. But I worked out plans ahead of time with my sponsor. I know what my road foods are. Just like I look up a meeting before I'm going somewhere, I'll look up what the opportunities are for food. If it's going to a grocery store and taking my ice chest, or if it's planning some meals, if I'm going to an event for my customers, I know ahead of time what I'm doing. There's no mystery there. And it gave me so much freedom because I would drop off a hat. We need to run some shop errands. I got it. Need to go to UPS. I got it. Need to go Home Depot. I got it. Can you take this on your way home? I got it. Because there was always a place that had 2 for something. You know, I'd go in for work on Saturdays to catch up. And there was a place close to our shop that made breakfast burritos and stuff. And if anybody else was there, it would have been embarrassing. And I'd be calling my wife around 1 o'clock. Hey, babe, I'm heading home. She went, you ready to go to lunch? Because, you know, I haven't done brunch or breakfast yet. And, you know, I'd take one for the team. I was in agony from how much I'd eat. But I'd go force something else down. I was eating against my will. I had no way to stop. And today I do. You know, I've got that plan. I've got that peace. I've got that serenity. When stuff blows up, I've got my God squad. I got a bunch of fellows I call on a regular basis. There's a bunch of people that have known me since I got here in the meetings that I go to. And they know, you know, they look at my face. Hey, McG, what's going on? Or, yeah, tell your face. Come over here and talk to me for 10 minutes. You know, but there's people I talk to on a regular basis when stuff's going good. Phone's a good weapon against this disease because I'm used to making the phone calls. And if somebody calls me, unless I'm on a tech support call or, you know, in a meeting,
2 minutes left.
Thank you so much. You know, I'll pick up that phone and return that call. You know, I can do those things today. I'm a responsible member of society. I'm a responsible member of this fellowship. I'm glad to carry the message and carry this stuff on because you guys saved my life. You know, I've had a couple of spiritual experiences in my life that were amazing. You know, stuff that really stood out. But when you read about it, you know, in the appendix in the big book, they talk about the educational variety. And that's what it's been for me. I mean, there was times when my wife was pregnant with our first child, you know, we're laying there in bed, she reached over and grabbed my arm and put it on her belly. And I felt Anastasia doing somersaults in there. That was pretty cool. You know, when the music started, when we got married, her coming down the aisle, that was a time. Taking my first cake in my other fellowship, sorry about that. But when I took my first candle here and got to stand in front of my home group and blow out that wax in front of everybody, that was a spiritual experience for me because I am incapable of doing this on my own. But with fellows like you and rooms like this and all the tools we're given, I've got a really good life today. And I thank my higher power for that. I thank you guys for that. Thank you so much for having me here today.